You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good to have producer Matt back. He took on a vacation for like a month. Did you have a good time, producer Matt?
I did, yes.
Well, good to have you back.
Thank you.
Chris echoes those thoughts, right, Chris? Kind of.
Absolutely, sort of. Yeah. No, sort of. Totally missed Matt. I'm glad he got a long weekend. He deserved it.
A really long weekend. Nice to have you back. Are you refreshed, or did it set in at any one point? Because this sets in when I take that extra long weekend or a week off, like about halfway through, maybe about three quarters of the way through, you know? I could never go back and be all right. There's that point of the vacation.
Sunday night, I think I hit that point. I was like, man, I am so glad I don't have to wake up tomorrow morning. Uh-huh. And if I didn't have to do that again, I'd be okay.
I'd be all right. Yep. I could, if I could win the lottery, this would be great. I'd never get up that early again. Speaking of early, time is 6:04. Hello to you. Brought to you by WeatherSeal. Buy one, get one window. Only $1 down with seven years zero interest. So check all of that out. You were up late last night, maybe, or maybe you fell asleep. Nonetheless, this happened. Westwood won.
And then Patterson will put the brakes on and dribble this one out. And the Baylor Bears do indeed bear down to knock off the unbeaten Gonzaga Bulldogs and claim the school's first men's basketball championship and just the second men's basketball title in the history of the state of Texas. Baylor 86, Gonzaga 70. Wire-to-wire winner for the Baylor Bears, national champions in 2021.
Okay, and they're going wild in Waco. They're probably still awake in Waco. So there's that. All right, now, so Gonzaga, it felt like, Chris, to me, from the very beginning of this basketball game and from the very beginning of this tournament, it wasn't just consolidated to this is the game in front of us, this is this game, this is this opponent, this is UCLA, this is whomever. It felt as if that cloud, and it could be a good thing or a bad thing. I think in the championship game it became a bad thing, especially when they got down just to start the game right out of the gate. But this cloud hung over them. They weren't playing just their opponent. They were playing this streak. They were playing to play undefeated. They were playing teams of the past that were undefeated, and they were playing something that happened 45 years ago. It felt to me they were playing two opponents every single time.
Yeah, they were playing history.
Yeah.
What really is, to be quite honest, what's amazing is that it didn't somehow catch up with them on Saturday night. All of that stuff that you just talked about. And I think that's what gave all of us hope, or at least belief, that it could continue into last night's game. Well, hey, they survived a crazy, wild, overtime, a buzzer-beating victory on Saturday night. They've taken all the shots, all the big haymakers they can take, and they're still standing there undefeated. Why can't they go do it on Monday against the next best team in the country? And as it turned out, that wasn't proof at all. All it was proof that they were one of the two best. And Baylor, and what we got was proof that defense, here's your old axiom now, your old sports talk cliche, defense can still win championships.
Absolutely. And the other part of it, too, is now from a physical standpoint, it's one thing. And maybe they did get worn down. They played late into the night on Saturday. It's a 93-90 game. It's an extra period. You go and you play an overtime period against UCLA. Was there that thought, though? And that's the physical side of it. Did it take its toll? One can banter that about and knock that around, yes or no. But is there that mental part of it? And that's something I think that can be debated from a sports talk standpoint, because it is cliched. Well, were they so mentally fraught? And was it so they anguished so much mentally and went through the ringer so much that it was like they couldn't come down and refocus for the championship game? Because, you know, you'll hear all the talking heads today. They'll try to find – this will be the big thing today. I'm preparing you for your Tuesday for the fallout. They'll congratulate Baylor. They'll talk about all the Carlton Dotson shooting stuff and Dave Bliss and how far that program has come from then. That'll be one of the talking points. The other one will be, did Gonzaga punch themselves out against UCLA. And not just physically, but mentally. And I don't know. I kind of refuse to believe that you can't get back up for a national championship game.
No, I think it comes down to this is a program now that for the last two decades has been at national prominence under Mark Few. And they've been to the national championship game once before, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, I think it was. And they've come close several other times, a couple trips to the Elite Eight. And yet it's still sitting there, that final piece of validation for Few. They haven't had double-digit losses, Colin, in a season in 10 years. And it's only happened twice under Few. This is now a perennial powerhouse. We talked about how they held off an underseeded blue blood on Saturday night by beating UCLA. You could argue Gonzaga, I don't care if they play in the West Coast Conference or not, is a new era of college basketball blue blood. Nobody looks at Gonzaga anymore and thinks the little engine that could. It's 20 years of Mark Few consistently churning out really good, if not great, teams. And yet here we are, 20 years later, still not paying off on the ultimate goal. I'm not saying that makes him a failure. I'm not saying that makes Gonzaga a failure. But what I'm saying is when you are that team that is consistently a top four seed in the tournament, as they've been for the last 8 or 9 years, with 1 year as an outlier, I think, when you're consistently winning fewer than, losing fewer than double-digit games, when you're consistently playing deep into tournaments, eventually it's got to pay off, right? And I wonder if that's the pressure. Not the pressure of being the first undefeated team maybe in 45 years to win a national championship, but the pressure of all of that building up on top of them. No, I'd like to know what the feeling is in Spokane this morning about, man, we keep getting there. We keep getting close, and not finally paying off on it.
Yeah, that's a really good thought. You know, and you wonder, too, in looking at this team, this was the one that was built with lottery picks. This is the one that finally, it wasn't just a system. It was individuals that were really, really good. They've had individuals that were really, really good, but not a collection of them like this in the past. And are they really getting their due? That's the thing, too, from the American sports watching population that I wonder if people realize. They should be mentioned with Kansas. They should be mentioned with Kentucky. They should be mentioned with Duke. They should be mentioned with Carolina and people like, because as you laid out, they're there. They are there. It is, it's a program that has risen to blue blood status, but they've got to get over the top. They've got to get that national championship. And you wonder if this will be Mark Few's best chance.
Well, and they have three conference losses in the last five seasons combined.
Right.
Three conference losses. So they are quite clearly the team to beat in their conference. I'll be curious to see, and I don't think Gonzaga would ever consider this because they are the linchpin of that conference and the face of that conference, and they are a basketball-only school. But do they ever look to try and elevate themselves out of quote-unquote mid-major status via their conference affiliation? Again, they're no football program in Spokane, so they're not going to the Pac-12.
Well, it's like what Xavier was in the Atlantic 10 and then went to the Big East, like that sort of maneuver. Although the Big East fell apart, you know, it wasn't the true Big East. But I liken it to where, you know, Xavier had sort of an NBA building built on their campus. I liken it to what Xavier wants to do in this part of the world. It's kind of the same thing. There's no football. They put all their eggs in that basket. It makes sense. I think it makes sense, particularly for those Catholic and the Jesuit schools and schools of that size, to get the hell out of the football game and put their money in the basketball game. It just does.
And to stay, I think, in those kind of, if you want to call it a mid-major, the Big East isn't a mid-major. Well, I don't know. You probably could argue that it has become a mid-major in some ways. To stay in that mid-major style conference and be the class of that conference, but then to maybe not face the real stiff tests outside of whatever you choose to schedule early in the non-conference sort of invitational season, not face those real stiff tests in conference play until you get to the end of the season,
really.
Is Gonzaga in the best possible place? And this has turned into a referendum on Gonzaga now, but are they in the best possible place to fine-tune their team every year? If they're going to be as good as they are year in and year out, to fine-tune their team for a tournament run, not just to the Elite Eight, not just to the Final Four or the national championship game, but to finally pay off on all that promise.
Up next, did one man err for all the world to see, or at least the people watching the Pirates game? We get into that. Brought to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing, Pittsburgh's leader in trenchless sewer repair, and a very good morning to you from us here at the Fan Morning Show. Take it or flush it, coming up in just a couple minutes. Probably a bad move all the way around, yes or no, to slap your wife or your girlfriend's backside in public. I'm thinking you probably err on the side of don't do it. JT Brubaker's old man, who looks like the life of the party, and somebody who I would want to have a Fan Morning Show porch tour at JT Brubaker's dad's house, I believe. I believe that would work. He looks like a lot of fun, or at least a tailgate party with him. So they flash to the stands last night, and Brubaker's pitching, and he's doing well. Brubaker's old man stays in the seat. His mom jumps out of the seat, and for some reason, nervous energy, I don't know, he wallops his wife right in the backside with his left hand, open hand. She spins around and is like, what the hell did you do that for? And she's not happy. So we err on the side of probably never, ever, in public especially. Private, you do what you want. But in public, probably never slapping your wife or your girlfriend's backside. Probably a good move, right?
Unless you're absolutely guaranteed a positive response, don't play with fire there. Don't. Just jump. Here's the thing. They're at the point, I would think, in their relationship, in their marriage, where after so many years, you would think
they were.
This is not the first
7:15 last night.
This is not the first time he's tried this, I would think. I mean, right? You don't get through. I mean, how old is JT Brubaker? 25?
Yes.
You don't get through at least 25 years of marriage without trying that at least once. If you try it again, not just in public,
27,
but at the ballpark, where you're watching your child pitch at the major league level. Like, he was so comfortable with the idea of trying it that he would try it in that atmosphere. No, Mr. Brubaker has tried that before, and Mrs. Brubaker has just had enough. Look,
none.
I remember you doing that one time at Disney World years ago because you were all fired up after the roller coaster. No, get your hands off. No, stop. That's not. Don't you dare try that in public again.
His mom's name is Teresa. I'm reading here. She looked like her name was Ginny. She looks like a Ginny, but his mom's name is Teresa. Lost in the video though is the lady next to Teresa Brubaker, who is FaceTiming someone and then FaceTiming herself, cheering as the game is going on at the game, which is beautiful. The Brubakers are America's. They're baseball family 101. They're so damn happy at their son's success, and I love it. By the way, here's a serious question, and real quick, because we got to get a take it or flush it. If I told you that on 5 days rest, starting right now, that you needed to go win a game and you needed to hand the ball to Brubaker or Mitch Keller, who would you hand it to? Seriously.
Yes, Brubaker.
Right?
I mean, neither option. I mean, nothing against JT Brubaker. Neither option's that great, but I guess I'd go with JT.
I mean, I thought he pitched better than Mitch Keller. I mean,
No doubt. He pitched better last night than Keller did on Sunday, so that's what you'd have to go with.
I mean, he gave up three hits. He only gave four innings. These guys, they just walk too many people. They strike people out, but they just all walk too many people.
Speaking of parents, real quick, Trevor Williams' dad was once again doing his thing at Wrigley last night as Trevor took a perfect game. I think it was into the sixth or something. I just saw clips on MLB Network of him high-fiving people at Wrigley as Trevor was punching people out.
Yes, that was great. He was. You knew that was going to happen, and good for him. We do root for him, except when he pitches against the Pirates.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.